Lord's put some things in my heart, and I've been speaking, if you remember, the past several weeks on the book of Acts, and I'm taking my time with it, and we're going through things, and one thing I spoke on earlier just rings out. Last week I was thinking about praying in the Spirit, you don't put down the shelf, and I wanted to remind you of that, and this week is one of the things is all Jesus began both to do and to teach. And so it's not enough just to teach and understand and have it up here, but if I'm not activating and walking and doing those things Bob was just talking about, all I have is a doctrine, and he wants a life, right? And so we spoke about that. Last week, I spoke on the fear of the Lord, and one thing that maintained that the church had that maintained them was they didn't have the fear of man. And one thing I challenged us with, and the one pastor I was referring to, and he said he went to this conference, and the speaker had there, it was a pastor's conference, plus a bunch of pastors there, and the speaker said at the end of the day, he said, go into a corner somewhere, lay your head down, close your eyes like you're taking a nap, and ask yourself, what would I have done for the Lord if there was no fear of man? And I said, wow, that speaks to me. How many times have I stopped from something or not gone all the way in an area because I've been too afraid of what she might think, you know? And so it's important that I'm more conscious of the Lord than I am of what someone else is thinking, because that can hold me back from God's best, right?
Amen.
Amen. And so, kudos to Brad, put that in action. I won't share all the details, but he's ministering to his family members and another powerful testimony that we'll finish later because it's still a work in progress. But that's an area where fear of man could dictate. Family is one of the biggest areas. You know, I have family members that I would like to share with, but I'm still working through what are they going to think. You know, so I admire that in you, man of God.
Yeah,
I admire you for that. And so fear of man can hinder us in some areas. I want to speak this morning, and I'll get to it in a second, and you'll understand why I kind of had a pause for it. I kind of, you know, sometimes I will kind of argue with the Lord about things. He put something on my heart, or passage, and so if you preach through a book, I come to a passage, and sometimes I kind of want to skip over it, but I do it. And so I want to share something this morning, and I kind of want to get to the heart of it. I hope I don't speak too long. But God is calling us further and further, and Aaron kind of said this, in our lives individually and corporately. And sometimes when that happens, there's a work that he does in us. Everything that the Lord does, everything that happens in our life, I always say this, don't waste a crisis, don't waste a problem, don't waste something that's not going right. Because if you look and if you're aware of the Lord, he can do a work and a progress and something in you that can, where you're not overcome by something, but you are overcoming it, right? I can't be an overcomer if I have nothing to overcome. And sometimes the things we have to overcome are the things, guilty number one, that I tend to complain about. Lord, I don't want to have to cross that barrier. No, no, no. Say, Lord, I want your best. And then he allows me to go through something to make me more like him, right? Because I'm to be like him. He's not like me. I'm like him, right? I'm constantly changed to be more and more and more like him. And so sometimes he can put something and I wrestle and I haggle with him. But it's really, if I look at it properly, the Lord's doing something. Go ahead and turn with me to Acts chapter 4. And I'm going to start off by reading verse 32 and 37. I'm going to take my time kind of getting to where I want to go. And I'm not going to keep you for too long. But Acts chapter 4, verse 32 and 37. My wife and I are on a Bible reading plan. I mentioned it to you. And it's funny because the passages I'm using right now, it's in Proverbs and Acts. And it's a way to read the Bible throughout the year, just a few chapters. And I encourage it to anyone. It's just not studying, not just reading your Bible. And there's a verse I'm going to use in Proverbs. And I was on that verse. I think yesterday was that. No, today was that one. And then Acts, I'm on Acts chapter 4 and 5 as well. But Acts chapter 4, verse 32, it says, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet. Excuse me. And they distributed to each one as everyone had need. And Joseph, who was named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having sold land, sold it and brought it to the apostles' feet. Just a quick background, because I'm going to get to this, then I'm going to get to Ananias and Sapphira, and then I'm going to get to what happened after that. Because there's a pattern there, and it's a pattern I see in the life of Jesus as well. In that time, just a quick background, historically, economic times were tough. There's political tensions, religious tensions that were happening, and so it wasn't like they were constantly giving, but as the people had a need, they gave. And I remember I shared about giving, one of the things in the book of Acts, in Acts 11, when the prophet got there, there's going to be a famine in the land. And what did they do? Instead of hoarding everything for themselves, they took up an offering. And I said, a spirit-filled life is one that's constant, that's giving, that's freely gives. And I'm still, God's still working with me in that area. I give, but I have some of the penny pincher stuff in me. Me and Jim probably both have it, you know. And so it's an area where the Lord works with me in my life that I can freely as I receive, freely give. And some of you modeled that very well. But that was the early church, and there's some corrections made to it if you read in Timothy, and the Lord speaks on chapter 4 about some of those things. But there's an area, and one thing I want to point out is the man who is highlighted here, and this just speaks to me, says, "And Joseph, whose name was Barnabas, by the apostles," which translates son of encouragement, "a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." And I read that, and I say, you know, all these folks were giving, yet the Lord highlighted this man, Spirit of God, for us to read. So he must have really, there must have been something really quality in that guy, right? And the Lord pointed him out as a witness for all of us. And then we go from there, such a great time in the Lord, we get to Ananias and Sapphira. And this is, I didn't want to preach on it, and I'm not going to go into what your interpretation of it is. I wanted to get off of it, and the Lord put me on. I said, "Well, Lord, what's the principle? What's the heart of this? What is something you want me to share?" And I feel like He's given me something. I actually had two conversations with people this morning before service. And it was basically kind of like what I'm going to share, and which was encouraging to me. I'm just going to read the first part. If you scroll down, and you know, when the Bible was written, He didn't write, "Okay, now I'm going to start chapter 5. He read it. The translators put the chapters in. So if you go right ahead to the next verse in chapter 5, verse 1. It says, "But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said," and here's the key thing, he says, "Why has Satan filled your heart?" I want to focus on your heart. Why has he filled your heart? "To lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself. While it remained, was it not your own? And after you were sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart?" People read this differently. Some folks I highly respect say these were not believers. Some say they were, some make the church. Some who look at things covenantally will have a very different take on it as well. I don't want to get into the weeds with that, but I want to get to the heart of it. He says, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart?" What were they guilty of in the heart issue of it? I wrote down, it's appearing to be something outwardly they were not in their heart. What I think happened, if you look, they looked and they said, you know, God's really doing some great things. You look at this man Barnabas. And he gave. And wow, he must have really been celebrated. And so what they actually did, Ananias and Sapphira, they said this. They said, "We're going to give the whole thing." They were not required to. They weren't punished for not giving all of it. They weren't punished for not giving. They didn't have to do anything. He says, "Was it not your own? Could you not have had it?" They were in trouble because their heart was wrong, because they said, "I'm going to give all of it for the appearance that I'm doing it, when I'm really keeping some of it for myself," right? They were faking it. What is religion? I can fake it. I knew a guy in high school. He was a PK. He was a preacher's kid. And he was having this issue with someone, saying, "You know, I can just fake it." He knew all the right things to say, all the right things to do. He could go raise his hand. It was an outward expression of something that wasn't actually going on inside of his heart. Okay? That's what I want to kind of get to. Because if you look after that, the Lord dealt with it in verse 12 through 16. After all this happened, another mighty move of God happened. Right? And that's when Peter's shadow, everyone was coming. We want to be healed. We want to be touched. Even Peter's shadow. And sometimes before the Lord can take us into that next dimension, into that next place in Him, there has to be something that He works within our hearts. Okay? The Lord is far more interested in us, I think, sometimes than we're aware of, if you think about it. It can be easy, especially in a work day, to go through life, to go through something, and just lose consciousness. But if you think of the Lord is greatly, sometimes we're so concerned. I love what Andrew's saying this morning. I can be so concerned with what's going on around me that I forget with what's going on inside of me. Okay? And sometimes the Lord wants to talk to you about that this morning, but sometimes the Lord wants to focus on what's inside of me so I can overcome what's going on around me. Okay? Does that make sense? And sometimes He will do that. Sometimes you hear revivals and moves of God, and people prepared their hearts and they prayed and fasted and they sought the Lord and they did things. There's one move of God that happened some time ago, and they said the church there actually prepared for 7 years. The Lord prepared and took their hearts and tried them and tested them and worked something in it, so when they got there, they could handle what happened, right? Sometimes if I see the end game that the Lord has, maybe if I have a great example about Jesus at the end for this, to show it to you scripturally. But if I see the end thing ahead, and I don't allow the Lord to work in me right now, I might trip up and fall and not be able to handle what the Lord wants to do for me 2 years from now, right? Because I'm not aware of what's going on with me now. And the Lord's preparing my heart. He's doing something in me for 2 years that I don't see. And if He doesn't work, I might get to that point and just fall apart under it. You see certain moves of God, for example. And I'm not going to call any names because I don't like to do that. But you can find it where they can be a real move with the Spirit, and the thing just collapses because they're heart issues that people haven't dealt with. It just breaks the thing down, right? Okay? So we're always aware of that. I want to get it to say a couple of things, a heart definition, because I want to speak to what's in your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life." Guard your heart. Private flow the issues of life. You remember in the parable of the sower, when it said that they sowed the seed and the ones where it didn't mature, it said that the enemy came and he stole the seed out of their heart. Right? And I share about that sometimes. Sometimes your mind, I can, like all Jesus began to do and teach, and I can believe the right things, and the Lord comes and takes it out of my heart, and it becomes just a form. Guard your heart. What did He say here? Ananias, why has Satan lied? Why have Satan filled your heart? Guard your heart. And I did a little study on heart, and it's fascinating. It actually got overwhelming. But I'm going to read. I have some verses I'm just going to read. Heart is mentioned over 1,000 times in the Scripture. Cardiac arrest. Mentioned over 1,000 times. And if you study it, sometimes your heart's connected with your spirit in the Scripture. But I want to just read some different things that I pulled. Remember in 1 Samuel 16:7, and when Samuel was going through and Jesse lined up all of his sons and just looked at Eliab and said, "Surely this must be the Lord's anointed." And he went down all of his kids and he finally got to David, and the Lord said, "The Lord does not look at outward appearance. The Lord looks at the heart." Right? The Lord's looking at our heart. Jeremiah 17:10. Don't turn to these. I'm just going to read some. Okay? This would be a great study if you're inclined to do it. It says, "But the Lord searches all hearts towards them." Has Jeremiah 17, the Lord searches our hearts. 1 Corinthians 4:5, it speaks about how in the time of judgment, the Lord will judge the hidden counsels of the heart. What's going on inside of me? Where am I at? Jesus says, "Your mouth will betray you as you speak." Let me just read this real quick because I like this one. Hang on with me. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 33. Okay, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Yeah, have you ever met anyone before and said, "Hey, I'm happy to meet you." And they're saying something and you're picking up like something. No, you're not. Sometimes because our hearts, what's going on inside of us, can speak louder than what we're actually saying, right? Your hearts will betray you. Guard your hearts. Okay? Jesus says, and from out of within of man's heart come the evil thoughts in Mark 17. Remember, out of your heart come adulteries and things. You know, Jesus talked about with adultery. If you looked at a woman with lust in your heart, what's He talking about? What's going on inside of here, right? He digs deep within. It can be uncomfortable at times, but it's a good, like the old preacher said, if you go in, take the Holy Spirit with you. You might not like what you find sometimes. He knows our hearts. There's talking about different emotions of the heart. Even if you think of the new covenant, it says, I will give you a new what? A new heart, a new spirit, a new thing within me. One of the things we've done in our secular society is we've made everything about my mind. It's all just my computer. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind, right? Three-part being. I was talking to my wife and I was talking to Amy about that recently. Okay? It's not just enough to know him in my mind. Not enough to just know him. You have to know him together, right? Spirit, soul, and body. Okay? A few more things. You know, I think you got the picture, actually, of the heart. The heart, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. Guard your heart. Guard what's going on inside of you. Guard what's here, because your heart, sometimes what's going on here, it will determine your destiny and where you're going. It's just like with anything. When the AC guys were in here this week and they were working, there was an apprentice who did it, and the owner came in here, and we were talking. I said, I really liked that guy. His name was Jesus. Spelled Jesus. He was in the text. I was like, I'm talking about Jesus. No, he was Jesus. And I said, I liked him. He was a good guy. He said, yeah, he's an apprentice. But I'm turning the level up to 10 on him right now. It's a 7, and I'm turning up to a 10. Sometimes we'll find things in our hearts, and the Lord will turn it up. Why is that? Why did that owner want to give Jesus level 10? So he could trust him with more, right? I can send him out to more places. I can give him more responsibility. Sometimes the best way to learn something is the hard way. You just go out and you do it. And it's in those places when it's hardest that you have to rely on the Lord the most, which is where you grow the most. Okay? So I want to look at that a few things, just our inner man. Not dealing with the issues of your heart can stop you from being all that God has called you to be. And he deals with your heart so you can properly steward more of him. Stay with me for just a minute, because I want to look at Jesus and I want to show you some things about him and end it with the Lord. Because I see a very similar pattern. It says he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He had to be made like us, right? Hebrews talks about that. And the radiation of our heart and who it was in his heart. In Luke chapter 3, verse 21 through 22, don't turn there. It says, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heavens were open. And the Holy Spirit, this is such a great passage. And while the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which says, you are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Quick point that I love about this. Before Jesus changed water to wine, before he raised the dead, before he killed the sick, before he cast out demons, the Lord said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And in our lives, because of Jesus and the work that he did, we're children of the Lord, right? Amen. And so the Lord always asks for more, but sometimes we beat ourselves up for not doing enough. And I always go back to the scripture. Before Jesus had really began his ministry, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, right? And so as a child of God, you know, through Jesus' sacrifice of the blood of the Lamb, I'm pleasing to the Lord, but he always wants more. He always wants more, right? And so one thing I love is right after this, it said that the Holy Spirit drew him where? Into the wilderness, right? Yes. Sounds like a fun thing to do. So he had this glorious moment, this glorious encounter, and then off to the wilderness you go. Thank you, Lord, right? Everything to go well and off into the wilderness. Why did he do that? If you look at the end of the wilderness, I'm going to stop on this for a little bit. When he came out of the wilderness, he said he came out in the power of the Spirit, right? Before he did all that he did, the Lord took him through a testing. Remember when Satan tempted him? He was tested in his heart. The Lord worked in his heart. He went through a period of 40 days, and he fasted for 40 days. Now, let me say this. Sometimes I ask the Lord, I'm a big proponent of fasting. I believe in it. Other people don't like to talk about it. But if you want to see some things in your heart that may not align with the Lord, you don't have to do a 40-day fast. You can just do a 40-hour fast. Fast in some capacity, and it will bring out all the little boogers that the Lord wants to deal in your heart. Can you imagine 40 days of that? You know, I'm a nice guy, and then you start fasting, and you know, because the Lord will sometimes show you things that you didn't know were there. It's a good principle. It's not my sermon. It's a good principle of fasting. If you don't have a fasting lifestyle, I challenge you to do it. If you can't fast food or anything like that, find something else you find yourself addicted to. Maybe it's your cell phone. Just put it on the shelf for a while, and sometimes, there's different things. So there's a good principle there. But he was sent to the wilderness to be tested, and he went out in the power of the Spirit. And I love what David Guzik wrote. He said, "The cool of the waters of the Jordan were now a barren wilderness. The huge crowds were now solitude and silence. The Spirit rests like a dove, and now the Spirit drives him into the wilderness. The voice of the Father calling him beloved Son, and now the hiss of Satan, the tempter. The anointed, now the attacked." Let me just stop right here, okay? Has anyone ever felt like that in their life? Everything's well, and then bam. The water of baptism, now the fire of temptation. The Lord walked through that. Jesus walked through that perfectly, right? Before he began his full-fledged ministry, he walked through a place where he was tempted. And the Lord was, I'm going to show you just a beautiful example I found earlier. He's tempted. He was tempted. Everything could have gone well, but sometimes, bam, he takes us in so he can go out the power of the Spirit and do all that he did, okay? I want to look at a few things about this. I'm not going to keep you too long. In Luke chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "And the devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread.' And Jesus, of course, answers with the word, but Jesus answered and saying to him, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the God.'" Could Jesus have, if you've been fasting 40 days and you have the power to turn a stone into bread, wouldn't you want to do it? And there's an area where he can use his strength. And the Lord and Satan even tested him in his strength to see if he would trust in himself or he would trust in the Lord in a certain area of his life. I have it on here in Matthew chapter 27. I'm going to read this. Matthew chapter 27, verse 40. You don't have to turn there. "But the Lord tested him in an area before putting you out in front on the big stage, before putting him in front of the height of his ministry." Do you remember when Satan was tempting him and when he left tempting him? He said he left him for an opportune time. I believe that was on the cross as he talked to these other guys in 27:40. When the guy says, "You who is crucified next to him, you destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days. Save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." It's at the very height of Jesus' ministry, on the cross for the sins of the world. There's an area of his life that he had already been tested in and proven in. Before he even got to that place, and before he even got to that point, Satan had tempted him. "If you are the Son of God, you can fix this problem yourself. You don't have to rely on the Lord. You can do your own thing," right? And he was proven why he said it out. "Man shall not live by bread alone." He could have done it, but he said, "It's better for me to honor and follow and rely upon the Lord than myself," right? He was already, before he got to the height of his ministry, are you seeing that? He was tested in this area in the wilderness. And I believe the Lord said, okay, he can handle this testing right here. Now I can trust him in 3 years for this, right? Amen? And he was already tested before. Sometimes what we would do, the Lord is more interested in our character than in our comfort. And sometimes we can step out ahead of God. I like being comfortable. Sometimes I wish, I'm grateful to live in America where we are comfortable. And I was talking to someone recently, I can't remember who it was. My brother went to Africa and he shared the different pictures with me about how the lifestyle's there. But sometimes our comfortableness, I don't want to be burdened by anything that the Lord's doing in my life. And sometimes even anything that seems contrary, I say that's not the Lord. But sometimes that really is, because what is he doing? He's building us character within us to make us more like him, right? And if I just rely on my comfort rather than that, I can miss the Lord's best, okay? If we go down, it says in verse 4 through 9, it says, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here." Let me see that. And it says, for his writ, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, it has been written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. I mentioned some last week about identity and about approval and things along those lines, and I felt the Lord in it. And I want to pause right here. Just thinking Great is the mystery of godliness that God became a man, right? Okay? God in the flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness, Timothy writes. Paul writes to Timothy. And you can imagine if Jesus went through what we went through, and he had this miraculous moment where he was baptized, and the dove came upon him, and all these great things, like I said, and he finds himself rushed out into the wilderness. It's a long ways from being tempted and starving to that. Sometimes I want to get to this. I had someone wrote, Satan is tempting him to force the Father into a supernatural event. Satan appeals to the desire with every man to sense approval from God, to have him send that approval to be publicly demonstrated. I spoke last week, we're talking about the fear of man and the fear of God, and sometimes fear of man can be seen. Everyone needs approval, right? It's human. Everyone needs it, okay? But I mentioned how it's like the side dish to the main dish, because my approval comes from God. Bob gave me some approval. That was good for me. I liked hearing that. But I don't need that. Can we be fine without that? Okay? And sometimes when I get my identity, the Lord will strike at our identity. Maybe your identity, it's in your work. So for here, Jesus could have said, you know, my identity is this great thing happened, and I can throw myself, I think it was 200 feet off this cliff, and the Lord will save me. Can you imagine what great sin that would have caused? So my identity is I'm in this great man of God, right? I'm this, I'm that. I can throw myself down, then I'm really going to show people who I am and what I am. If you think of Jesus, he was fully God, right? But he also made himself as a man. So you can imagine some of these things. He was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Do you think something like that could have been going through the Lord's mind at that time? Oh, I could take a shortcut and get at it, and I could do this and show everyone how great I am. Sometimes it's an identity where I need approval from the Lord, but sometimes if I put my identity in my job, for example, what happens when you lose your job? When I get my identity from my family, and then your family grows up, and they're not with you in the home anymore, and you're not, you know, changing diapers or whatever it is you're doing. If it's in, like I mentioned about the preacher, I just have to do this, I have to do that. Sometimes the Lord will strike down our identity, and sometimes to really find out what's going on in your heart, one prayer I always pray, I say, Lord, do heart surgery within me. I've had identity in different things before that hasn't been Him. And if you're open to the Lord, sometimes, I'm not saying you're going to lose your job. Maybe you get a new boss who doesn't think you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. Has that ever happened to you before? And sometimes you can do that, and your identity begins to be swerved, and you're found, where am I at? What's my heart issue? Is my heart in who I am and what the Lord says about me? There's in my heart and what's going on here. Amen. Does this make sense to you? And the Lord will strike because He's more interested in what's in your heart than He is on what's going on around you. Amen. Have you ever been around someone who carries such a... One thing in Acts, I didn't talk about this, about Peter's shadow was healing people. And as John Stott, he said the word overshadow actually talks about the same word used for the very presence of God. So they carried such a presence of God on them. Have you ever been around someone who carries such a presence of tension or stress or strife? What's in your heart comes to the surface. And does anyone else have... I used to have a boss. I could be in the other side of the room, and he could walk in over there, and I could feel him walk in the room because he carried such as what was going on inside of his heart. And he was like, hey, Clay. He was Scottish. Everyone needs a bad boss once. He's the only one I've ever had like that. He was a Scottish man. But you could talk to him. It's just such things. Why? Because what's going on inside of his heart, his identity was actually his job. And the Lord stripped it from him. Okay? So I want to talk to you two more things. The third temptation... It talks about in verse 6, and I skipped around. It was in his eyes, and it says, and the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. Let me go back one more thing to identity that's encouraging to you, and I'm going to go to this because I forgot it. Why is this important? Because no one is like you. No one is like you. No one ministers like Phil does when he goes to Peru. Right? Okay? No one's going to minister like Kevin at the prison, like Sharon when she goes to prison, or anyone in here, because you're you. One of the things, I want to challenge you with this. If you remember when Joanne was here a couple weeks ago, and I remember when I was in Bible school, the way she ministers is very can stand out. And so sometimes people will just try to copy her instead of being who you are. Okay? Or I can do something in any area of my life. The Lord's got me. I used to want to be like other preachers, and I've gotten to the point now where I honor them and say they're way better than I am, walk with the Lord way better, they can preach up a storm better than I can, but I don't want to be them. Because God needs whoever I am. And if you can get to that point, you say, I honor that person, man, he excels me in some areas, but I don't want to be them. I want to be me. In any area of our life, I've always said, then why try so hard to fit in when you were called to stand out? Okay, so the Lord will put something in your heart, and he knits at it. If you're trying to be, maybe it's on your job and your anything, sometimes you try to mimic in people, be you, because only you can be you. And that's why your heart's so important to keep that. I'm going to talk about David in a minute, because you're only you, and you can influence and impact others around you. Amen. So the last one, it says Jesus could lay claim to all the kingdoms of the world. It was a shortcut. I read this before. I think this was F.F. Bruce. He said, don't settle for good when you're called to be great. Sometimes the greatest danger is when it's good. So if God's called me to level 10, 100-fold, and I'm at 60-fold, and I'm doing pretty good, it's easy to just kind of hang back and relax. If you ever read the book God's Generals, and the guy goes and talks about all these great men and women of God throughout the years, it's a wonderful book and fascinating. But there have been studies that have been done. Church historians have said most. It's an overwhelming amount of people who ended worse than they began in their ministry, in their life, however they are. And if you read God's Generals, one thing is how you learn from it. These guys let this. Sometimes I was at a prayer meeting one time, and the guy was getting sharing. He's talking about how he was in the woods in Groton, and there was a big tree. I shared this here before, it's been a couple years ago, and there's a little vine that went around the tree. Hardly noticeable. You could barely see it. But he said, if that vine was not taken care of, it's going to ruin the tree. And sometimes, guard your heart. Ananias, why is Satan? Put it in your heart. Out of your heart flow the issues of life. Protect what's going on inside of you. What's the Song of Solomon says, the little foxes that ruin the vineyard. I've seen a fox, they're tiny. Lord, this is a good prayer to have. I want to end better than I began. I don't want to start right here and go down the path. And all the while, the Lord's shown me this little thing within me. And I get to the point at the end and I realize, you know, this little thing that I could have taken care of 15 years ago has tripped me up now. I don't lose my salvation. I don't lose my walk with God. Nothing like that. But maybe the Lord had something far greater for my life. Because I did not take care, I did not guard my heart. The issues of my life were not taken care of, and I didn't properly steward it. I got tripped up at the end. Don't take shortcuts. And I say this, and I almost hated to preach this morning and speak it. Sometimes it's not the most encouraging thing in the world, but it's the Word of God. Don't waste. If something's going on stinky right now for you, don't waste it. Lord, what can you teach me in it? Lord, this is in my heart. Okay. Thank you, Lord. I always, if someone ever comes to me and says, this is going on in me, I say, well, you're in an excellent place because you recognize it. I'll say, Lord, do heart surgery in me and change this thing. Get in His presence. Get in His Word. Let His Word correct you. Worship Him. Let the Spirit of God transform you. As I worship and as I behold Him, in Corinthians says, I become more like Him. Lord, I have this problem with this person. I have this problem with this situation. I had something going with the air conditioner. The folks I'm working with the air conditioner. And I reacted in a bad way when I was alone. I said, Lord, that's not good. No one saw me. That's a good thing. Lord, that's a problem. Holy Spirit, I see this pattern in my life. Holy Spirit, do heart surgery. Work within me. Work within my heart so I can be a good steward of who you're called to be. Kingdom of God is always separate from the kingdom of darkness, right? I was watching John Gray, a pastor in South Carolina. He met with President Trump this week, and he was on another show on the cable news network, and that guy was criticizing him, and he told him, he said, you know, this turn the other cheek stuff, you got to leave that alone, basically. The world's always going to tell you to go contrary to what the Lord's calling you to do, right? Who the Lord's calling you to be, okay? Let me end with this. This is my last point, I promise you. A great example of this is David. It can be hard to fulfill sometimes the will of God in your life, sometimes because the internal desires and drives within us are contrary to that. But study David in the Scriptures. David was a man who was called and anointed from a young age, was he not? He was called to be king. Look at all of us in some capacity. I believe this. I believe the hand of God is on everyone from a young age. Whether you met the Lord when you're 50 or 5, you didn't find the Lord, He found you, right? And if you look at that, you say, man, God, You've kept me all these years. You've watched over me. You've called me for greatness, to do wonderful things in Your kingdom. I might not sit on an earthly throne like David did, but You've called me to do something of value and of substance. And I love it because he said, when Samuel was going before, he said, the Lord looks at the heart. So the Lord saw something in David's heart that was right. Did He not? Something that was good as a child. And when the time came when he fought Goliath, remember that? And he said, you can't do this. What do you mean? And he said, you don't understand. I've been a shepherd. I've been killing bears. I've been killing lions throughout my time. No one saw me do it. You aren't here. But that's what I've been doing. I've been faithful. His brother said, the little sheep or the few sheep you had. Remember, faithful and little. Maybe you're doing something and you're being faithful and very little. And you see, there's a lion coming up. That's a problem to overcome, right? The lion comes to me, I'm running. But a lion came up, and he was faithful right there where he called him to, and he took care of the lion. So when he came to Goliath, what happened? Who is this guy? I fought these guys. He's nothing. Why is that? The Lord saw something in his heart because throughout his life he was called. Well, I'm called to do this. That's good. But the Lord keeps calling you. Remember, I want to be, if I start at level one, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven if I die. Amen. But I want to keep going and be all that God's. I want to slow Goliath, right? Amen. I don't want, because the lions and the bears I'm fighting, I think it was bear. There was lions for sure. Someone else could help me with that. The lions I'm fighting, yeah, but they're going to prepare me for what God has for me in the days ahead. And one of the things, you have more influence and impact on people than you realize. Okay? David and his mighty men. Remember when he went to the cave of Adullam? And he took all the vagabonds, all the outcasts, everyone. And if you look at those men, what David carried inside of him, and these men who were with him, what happened to them? They became judges. They became mighty men. They did exploits. Can you imagine one man whose heart was... And he made mistakes, didn't he? But his heart was towards... He's a man after God's own heart. He had something in him that was good. One man with a good heart... A heart towards the Lord, a man after God's own heart. The Lord put these guys around them. And just being around him, the time they were around him, set something apart, set something off in them, where they became a group of vagabonds and outcasts to a group of mighty men. Let that sink in for a minute. And realize that God's put people around you. He's put people in my life. He's put people in your life. I want the Peter shadow... presence of the Lord that's in my life, the heart of God that He's given me, to rub off on someone, take someone, Lord, You're doing it in me, find someone, maybe it's someone at work, okay? Maybe it's someone in your family, these are the two examples I'm giving. And Lord, You've put something so unique in me, You've given me a heart, You're working in me, and what You're doing in me can affect those around me in a positive way. Everyone's had it happen. Another work example, because we can all relate to it. If you ever had a bad boss and then a good boss comes in, if you look at football, football's going to start up, you can have a lousy coach, get rid of him, a new guy comes in, the next year they have a winning record. Why is that? Sometimes what's inside of you rubs off on other people, right? And I can take the same group, and maybe that's you. You look at yourself as that. You carry more influence. Guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. I want something good flowing out of my life. When I'm around Phil Wester right there, okay? I don't want to impact him in a negative way. I want something good going on inside of me. Think of someone in your life. There's something. Guard your heart. Watch over the things. Steward the things in your heart. Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart? Parable of the sowers. Satan came and you stole it out of their heart. Lord, keep my heart with all diligence. Find areas, again, this is the last thing I'm saying, I'm praying. Prayer, I've always prayed, I prayed it for years. Lord, try my heart and know me, the anxious things within my heart. And Lord, just do heart surgery on me and perform something. If there's something that's out of alignment, come in and do a work within my heart. Amen. Amen. If you want more of the Lord, I'm telling you, this is the Word of God for some of us. I know it is. And I didn't love preaching this, actually. If you want more corporately, as Aaron was saying, if you want more individually, and you want to withstand in that time, be able to handle more, embrace Him and embrace what He's doing in your life. That's not a miserable thing. It's actually good. And you find grace and you find a rest in it. And God still uses you powerfully while still doing the work in your heart. Amen? Amen. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You for what You're doing. Lord, thank You for the time of worship we had today. Lord, thank You for what You're doing in Patty's life and Tom's life, Father, in this house. Thank You, Lord, for what You're doing, Lord, and Dave and Carolyn. Lord, thank You for what You're doing in everyone here, Lord, that You're working within us, Lord. Lord, You're creating something within us, Lord, I believe is a great end time move of God. You have a group of mighty warriors, just like David, who when no one sees them, they're out slaying the lions and they're slaying the bears in private. Because if we win our victories in private, He can trust us with what's public. And I thank You that You're doing that in hearts and lives here, Father, that we can stand and that we can be faithful men and women of God who can carry and shoulder an anointing, Lord, that can carry the weight of Your presence, that can carry something that's powerful that the world needs, Lord, because You've stewarded us and You've harnessed us and You've shaped our hearts, Lord, and You make us more and more like You, Father. So this last week, Lord, You are the potter and we are the clay. Lord, You mix us and You mold us and You shape us for good things, Father, for use, to be useful instruments for You. And we love You, Jesus. We honor You. We bless You and we praise You. In Your wonderful name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Be sure to say hey to our I don't remember your names, all right, but we also have snacks and stuff downstairs as well when you're done. So come hang out as well. Bless you guys. Amen.